Welcome to Citizens Climate University. Tonight, we have a topic that I think is near and dear to all of us as the holidays are approaching, and that is effective communications around the holidays, a brain-based mindfulness approach. So I'd love, before anything else, to have a chance to introduce our speaker and presenter tonight. It's none other than our very own Chris Hoffman. Chris has worked as a counselor and organization development consultant in a variety of settings, including 23 years with a Fortune 500 energy utility company. He's a noted eco-psychologist and writer and the author of 4 books and several professional articles. If you'd like to find out more, his website is listed on the bottom of these slides. And Chris is also the CCL liaison to Colorado Senior Senator Michael Bennett. Thank you so much for being on the call tonight, Chris.
Thank you, Brett. Well, thanks very much. What I'm going to be talking about tonight are two main learning goals, is to first to learn the phases of the communication process and to learn key skills of effective listening. And this session tonight is based on an effective communications course that I developed based on 30 years of experience in the field. And what we'll cover tonight should be helpful in any conversation you have, but especially in conversations you may have over the holidays related to climate change and or carbon fee and dividend. And the skill set is primarily listening skills, which is a foundational skill for more advanced communication work, especially motivational interviewing. So what I'm going to do is first talk about the overview of the communication process. We'll have a little warm activity and then dig into the active listening skills and then have a chance to practice in the listening skills in a breakout, and then we'll have some time for discussion. So let's go ahead and take a look at the next slide, which is the major steps of the communication process. Now, in real life, communication is not this linear, but this is a way to think about what goes on. And I will go through these one at a time. The steps are prepare, listen, consider, talk, check, adjust, and continue. And the main thing we'll be focusing on tonight is the listening skills. So let's just go through the whole skill set briefly. First off, prepare. And the questions we ask ourselves here are, what do I really want? And sometimes there's a temptation to want to look good or make the other person look bad, or to, quote, win, or to sometimes to vent our anger. We try not to do that in CCL, but that's a common temptation to get sidetracked from what we really want is some kind of effective communication, to get something productive done. So that's the first thing. And then the other part of preparing is to establish safety. And we'll talk about this a little bit more when we get to the check and adjust phase. But what the basic rule is that if you, or more especially the other person, is not feeling safe in a communication, nothing productive will happen. And there'll be a lot of talking going on, but there won't be any real communication. And so there's some tips I'll talk about when we get to steps 5 and 6 about establishing safety. But one of the first things is to make sure that you are in a safe space, a space where you're not out in a hallway or a group of other people, or there's not a press for time, and people feel like as much as possible that you and they can speak openly. So that's the first step. And then the second is the skill set of listening, and there are major skills here. And when we go through them in the listening skills We'll go through them one at a time, but the skills are encouraging and pacing, questioning, restating, reflecting, summarizing, hypothesis testing, and receptive silence. And that's a whole body of skills related to listening. And we'll go through those in a bit. Then, when you listen or as you listen, the things you want to consider are, what are my filters and lenses? We all have our own filters and lenses based on our personal experience and what we've learned, what our life experiences is. And one of the things that can be a filter is we're in our minds trying to plan what we're going to say next rather than really listening. You know, and as human beings, we try to make sense of the world by making up consistent stories about what we perceive. And our stories are not always representative of the truth. So here's a little example. This guy was driving in a mountain highway. It's summer, maybe California, summer in a convertible, driving a windy road, and his top's down, and he comes around a curve, and there's this woman in another car coming the other direction, her top's down too, and she yells at him, "Pig!" and keeps driving. And he thought, you know, he's really angry. He thinks, you know, what right does she have calling me a pig? And he gets all angry about this and then goes around the curve and sees there's a huge pig in the road. So how we make sense of the world really depends on our presuppositions and our mindsets. And so it really helps to always understand that what we're hearing depends partly on what sense we're making up about the situation or what stories we're making up. And oftentimes there are alternative stories. It could be she was calling the man a pig. It could be that there was a pig in the road. And there are lots of other examples I can give, but I think you get the idea. And then when you've considered this, then you try to make your best sense of what the other person is thinking and how the other person makes sense of the world. So considering that, then you consider, how best can I phrase what I have to say? And then we're on to the next stop, next part, which is when you talk, the mnemonic is think first. Facts are a great place to start, and sometimes what seems to be a communication problem is just two different incomplete sets of facts. And the next part is I statements. And I statements mean that you speak firsthand from your own experience. For example, I feel or I need. Your feelings are always adequate for the conversation, because feelings are feelings. So we all have them. And so it's appropriate to bring them in. As long as you own the feeling and not say, you know, you're bad, but you say, I'm angry, something like that. Then you make a request, and the request form allows the other person to the respect for the other person to decide whether to grant the request or not grant the request. And then you seek the other's view. You say, you know, that's how I see the situation, but I may have missed something. How do you see it? And then you seek alignment. And again, there's a lot we could talk about here. When you seek alignment, you seek things like finding mutual purpose, because that helps generate alignment. You differentiate between interests and positions, and you recap areas of agreement and things like that, and then you thank them. So that's the things to remember when you're talking. Then you check. That's the next step. And here's where you pay attention to whether the other person or you are being reactive or receptive. And the signs of reactivity are in you or the other person signs of fight, flight, or freeze. So some examples of flight. It can take the form of masking, avoiding, or withdrawing. So masking. I'm really fine when you know they're not, but they're putting a mask on that I'm really fine. Or avoiding. You bring something up and they say, nice weather we're having. Or withdrawing. They say, oops, look at the time. I've got a meeting. So that's examples of flight. Freezing is just silence or passivity or placating. Like, oh, yes, that's right. You're right. I'm sure you're right. And fight is more assertive when you see that from you or the other person. Again, it can be seen as controlling, labeling, or attacking. Controlling is something like, it's obvious the best thing to do is X. And the other person says that. They're really trying to control the situation. Or labeling, something like, oh, that's what those tree huggers usually say, putting a label on somebody. Or attacking, that's usually the strongest. Just try it and just see what happens. So the key here is if you sense reactivity in you or the other person, it doesn't make any sense to keep talking about content because nothing productive is going to happen. You or the other person are not feeling safe. So there are things to do to reestablish safety before you get back into the content. And that's where you adjust. So if either or both of us are reactive, then you adjust. And there's a whole skill set here too. If for adjusting, you can clarify your meaning or intent by using clear parameters, such as if they're reacting as though they heard X, you can say, I did not mean X, I did mean Y, and that can often diffuse the situation. Or reaffirm mutual purpose. We're both here to solve this problem. And sometimes, you know, all of us are human. We sometimes say things that we wish we hadn't. And in that case, an apology is in order because it's honoring of the other person again. And also it helps to reestablish safety and get things back on track. And then the next step is just continue. In real life, naturally, communication is not this linear, but it gives you some sense of the main phases and general sequence to keep in mind. So let's now just do a little warm-up breakout activity. And the instructions here are to think of a time when a listener thoroughly understood you and accepted you for who you are. Take turns sharing with your partner how you felt when being listened to so well. So think of a time when somebody listened to you really well and you were seen, heard, felt, and respected for who you truly were.
Welcome back, everyone. We're just getting the last breakout room to resume joining us, and I'll hand it over to Chris to help facilitate a little processing.
So here's an illustration of what a good listener does. Good listeners try to understand how you see yourself and how you see the world. So in this right bubble, these are all things that are happening inside you. You have thoughts, you have intuitions, you have emotions, you have perceptions, and you have your ongoing self-narrative about who I am, what I believe, experiences, and expectations. And a good listener is trying to, by listening well, they're trying to create a mental map of all of this so that they can really get you. Does this make sense? Trying to make a mental map of you, of what's going on inside you. And there are some specific skills that go with helping them create this mental map. I guess we're ready for the next slide. The skills are encouraging pace and pacing, questioning, restating, reflecting, summarizing, hypothesis testing, and receptive silence. So let's go through those. The first one, encouraging and pacing. So this is, I just did that. I see, We do this a lot when we're, particularly when we're on the phone, because there's no body language to observe. Sometimes it's through the body language. Connie, you mentioned smiling. That's a pacing skill. You try to, you show that you're listening. And it just saying just doesn't mean you necessarily agree or disagree with the person. It just means that you're present with them. You use noncommittal words and a positive tone of voice, and it's often used on the telephone. So the next one, Brett. Okay. So the next one is questioning. And what we want to aim for is open-ended questions. What, why, when, where, and how. A closed-ended question aims at only a yes or no answer. And it tends to constrict the discussion rather than opening it up. So we want open-ended questions. It gets information. And one of the things we found, interestingly, through research is three questions in a row, even if they're open-ended questions, people get irritated. So you want to mix it up and use some of these other active listening skills. But if you're doing questioning, open-ended questioning is definitely, for most cases, the way to go. And it's important to remember that sentences like these are not true questions. Isn't it true that, or wouldn't you agree that? These are kind of gotchas. There are statements with a hook on the end or loaded questions, loaded like a gun. So we want to stay away from these. If there's something you want to say that you think is true, you can state it as, this is what I think. But using the, isn't it true that, is kind of a gotcha. And again, it makes people feel resentful. Okay. The next is restating, and this is what you use when you are talking about facts. And again, you're trying to let the speaker you're listening to know that you get their thoughts and their perceptions. And so you can use these openers, like, in other words, your idea is, or if I understand you, you're saying. And then you restate the content of what the other person says using your own words. And again, your focus here is to test the clarity of your understanding. You're not agreeing or disagreeing. You're just saying, this is how I understand what you're saying. And there's a story, I think David Brooks of the New York Times, I don't know if anybody reads his columns, but he recently reported on a dialogue group that got together, and the one rule was that before you could respond, you had to restate the speaker's point in words that in a way that the speaker would say, yes, I agree. That's what I'm trying to say. And it turned out to be a very rich and productive conversation group because people really had to listen well. And restating facts is especially useful to clarify thoughts or perceptions. Let's go into the next one. Feelings This is where you need to listen with what's called the third ear. Listen for what the other person is feeling, and reflect that back to them. It lets the other person, you understand how they feel, their emotions. And feelings are not right or wrong, they just are. And this lets you put yourself in the other person's shoes. And the key thing here, sometimes when people are learning this, they're concerned that if they reflect the feeling, they will imply that they are agreeing with the feeling, agreeing with the other person's anger or disgust or sadness or whatever. You may or you may not. The focus here is to understand and express how the other person is feeling in words that make sense to them. Okay, let's go on. The next is summarizing. This is a great way to keep the conversation moving. It helps you and the other person pull key ideas and facts and feelings together. And sometimes you may have been in meetings or situations where you hear the other person, and inside yourself you're thinking, they said that 5 minutes ago, or they keep saying the same thing. If you're noticing that in yourself, it's a clear indication that the other person has not felt heard. You can move, if you're in a meeting, even if you're not leading the meeting, you can move the meeting along by summarizing, you know, gosh, Jeff, it sounds like you're really upset about this, and the facts of the situation as you see it are A, B, and C, and you're really upset, and you'd like to do something about it. And Jeff kind of breathes a sigh of relief and says, yes. And then Jeff can let it go. So that's something that you as a meeting participant can be very effective in helping move a meeting along, even if you're not leading the meeting officially. So summarizing as well as the reflecting and restating are very useful. And then hypothesis testing. This is where you as the listener are trying to make sense of the other person in your mind. And a good way to check out how valid your mental model is, how well you are doing at making sense of the other person, is to test a hypothesis. It's your best guess about what's going on. It's like a summary, but it's stated really tentatively because you're not saying what you've heard the other person, you're not summarizing things you're sure about. You're saying, this is my best guess about what's going on. For example, since no one returned your call, I'm wondering if you thought we weren't interested in your input, and if you're angry about that. There's some facts in here, and there's a hypothesis about their thinking and their feeling. And this does a couple of things. It helps create safety because it says that it shows that you are okay with putting sensitive issues on the table for discussion. And it also, if somebody says, well, that's mostly right, but I'm not really angry about it. I'm just kind of not strongly angry, but I'm just frustrated and I wish we could do things differently in the future or something like that. And then you're ready to move on and do something productive. So hypothesis testing can be really good. Then the next is, and be clear that the hypotheses are tentative. It's like, I'm wondering if, or when this, I hear that, the story I make up in my mind is, or try and make sense of this, I think, and is that accurate, or am I missing something? So these are all ways of suggesting that what you're saying is a hypothesis. Okay, and then finally, receptive silence. And introverts in particular, if your speaker is an introvert, they really can appreciate this because As you know, introverts need to go inside to collect their thoughts and do their thinking inside themselves. Extroverts do their thinking outside where everybody can see it. If you ask an extrovert a question, they'll put the answer together in the living room and you'll see all the dust and the pieces and you'll see the final answer. And actually by listening to them talk, you're helping them think. For an introvert, they put the answer together in the basement. So you'll ask an introvert a question and sometimes it looks like their eyes have glazed over, but mentally what they're doing is they're going down into the basement, putting their answer together, and then coming up back and presenting you with their answer fully formed. So that can be very helpful when the person you're talking with is an introvert. And there have been lots of studies about where a teacher would ask questions of the class, and a certain number of hands would always go in the air, and the teacher would call on one of those kids. But they did a coaching of the teachers to wait something like 3 more seconds before calling on the kids. And all of a sudden the teachers discovered 5 or 10 more hands in the air. And those were the introverts who just needed a little extra time to go down into the basement and put their answers together. So receptive silence can be very helpful. And it also allows you time to think. And it can draw out details and nuances. So those are the main skills. Let's move on to... So let's do a listening breakout, and we have a good amount of time for this. So we're going to be in triads, in threes, and the speaker is to your role is to talk about something you care deeply about. It could be climate, it could be knitting, it could be fishing, it could be bowling, it could be your grandkids or your kids. Whatever, skiing, anything, but something you care deeply about. And if you really want to challenge yourself, you could take on the persona of a conservative, you know, and talk about your view of climate change. But that's up to you. So that's the speaker's role. The listener's role is to use these active listening skills to draw out the speaker. And then the observer is to take note of the listening skills used by the listener.
But before pivoting anywhere else, we wanted to make sure that you knew about where to find Chris and Mai's contact information. Chris is just hoopandtree@aol.com. And mine is just brett@citizensclimate.org. If you have any thoughts or questions afterwards, The best way to go and find it, though, if you're interested after tonight, is just clicking on the Connect button in Community and then scrolling down to the Action Team directory link, and you can find effective communication right there. At this point, tomorrow, we'll make sure the lesson is recorded and posted online in our communications lesson. Feel free to share it at that point with your family and friends. We'll have it be online with social media. If folks have other thoughts about the Learning Center content, anything else you'd like to see on a webinar, please let me know. But at this point tonight, I know the last thing that Chris wanted to do was just pivot to thanking all of you for your time and availability to be on this webinar. And a huge thank you, Chris, for your leadership in walking us through this essential checklist of skills and really kind of being able to take inventory as we're about to engage in what will be some powerful conversations this holiday season.
Great.